Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
This episode is brought to you by the movie The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, only in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now.
It's directed by Guy Ritchie, who did The Gentlemen, and produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, who did Top Gun Maverick.
Based on a true story, this action comedy reveals the first ever Special Forces mission executed during World War II.
Starring Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson, discover how one mission changed history, laying the foundation for modern Black Ops warfare.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is rated R and in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Super producer Max, can I get some bubbles going?
Bubble, 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 yeah. Bubble, bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Though the calming placid waters may be still on top, there is a flurry of activity beneath.
Mm-hmm. So, as you can tell, we're doing today's episode from the jacuzzi of the mind. They call me Ben Knowles. Yes, how about we invite people into this hot tub of an episode? This is this is something we've been talking about.
I'm picturing
for a while.
Like, you know, you bisecting someone's skull, cutting off the top part, and, you know, just turning the brains into squish, and then just kind of bathing in it with your arms around the edge of someone's head. I don't know. Is that weird? I think it's weird saying it out loud.
It's
that I'm
dark.
Going with it.
It's dark, but hey, 'tis the season. You know what I mean?
It's true.
And it's also perfect weather, some would argue, for a hot tub. We also want to give a shout out to our research associate for this week, Max Williams. The very
bubble,
same.
Bubble, bubble, bubble.
Bubble, bubble, bubble.
our resident hot tub expert. He's been this for some time now. Much to your chagrin at times, Ben, Max is always bringing up the hot tub times, the before times, before he knew you. And I think there's been a little FOMO there. And today I think we can kind of make up for that.
Yeah, maybe. I have a lot of hot tub adventures that are probably not fit for a family show. So we'll just go Hitchcock rules, folks. Okay. Imagine what happened off screen. But yeah, this is our long-awaited hot tub episode. Now, for a lot of us in the modern day, at least in the United States, you might think of hot tubs and their glory days somewhere in the same echelon of like the reign of waterbeds, you know what I mean? Or 70s mm-hmm. conversation pits. But if we describe a hot tub, basically, it's exactly what it sounds like, right? You might see these in hotels sometimes too, right? You get the streams of water that don't like, they come from multiple faucets or spigots.
They cascade, I would argue. They're little, you know, waterfall thingies. And then you've got the jets, which is, you know, kind of what we're talking about here. It creates the bubbles that we so know and love. Sometimes you can kind of tell the caliber of the hotel you're in by the shape of the hot tub. If it's heart-shaped, you might be in Vegas. You may have just gotten married by an Elvis impersonator. Or it could also be one of those rent-by-the-hour kind of motels.
Yeah.
It takes all kinds, but in general, you know, it's typically round, a round kind of plasticky thing, like shell, usually situated within some sort of like wooden frame. And typically they're outdoors. It's sort of, that's sort of how we think about it in general. Like a jacuzzi tub is one thing, but a hot tub is for the out of doors.
And one day I've got, God, I'm coming up with so many inappropriate stories right now. I one time accidentally stayed in what's called a love hotel in Japan, which was a surprise to me and a condemnation of my terrible Japanese. And you know what? Just by picking up context skills, but that had an epic hot tub. It took up like half the room. The hot tub thing, it's a universal appeal. And you might be surprised to learn, ridiculous historians, it's quite an ancient appeal. Hot tubs are a spin on the ancient love humans have for getting a good soak. Imagine, if you will, the first ancient humans stumble across a spring, maybe near a mountain, and they realize quickly, hey, this is not your usual spring. It's warm. It might even be dangerously hot, but let's soak our bones here. Hunting and gathering is tough. Let's take a quick 15. You know what I mean? Just to soak it in.
Yeah. I once got to stay in a little retreat in a place called Hot Springs, North Carolina, I believe. And they literally just have these kind of hot tub enclosure things built around these naturally occurring springs. I will also hearken back to the story we did with Alex Williams, who composed our theme, about the kind of the gentleman who sort of did a bad job at wildernessing.
And, oh, yes.
37 Days of Peril.
That's the one. He ended up getting like his flesh seared off by Old Faithful or something like that. He lay on the thing thinking that it was going to like warm him up, and it really just kind of did a number on him.
It's dangerous. You know, I've been in many like natural springs, and sometimes I'm weird about it, man, because I was in Guatemala and they said, okay, we're going to go to these hot springs. And they were okay. They weren't freezing, but they were like warm springs. If you go to Warm Springs, Georgia, here in our home state, then you'll also find that they were managing expectations with the names. But some of these things can be blistering hot. You're absolutely right, Nolan. I think we're on the same page with this. Folks, if you get a chance to hang out at a natural hot spring, do so. It's a cool experience. People, as far as we can tell, have always loved soaking in warm or hot natural springs, even in ancient history, we see this happen. The Tibetan Plateau in Central Asia was home to hot springs. And again, a lot of hunter-gatherers. And we've got innovations from the ancient world. Like when you think of the ancient world, you think of like Greeks. You think of, you know, the Roman era. You also think of ancient Egypt. It shouldn't surprise anybody that the ruling class of Egypt was super into hot springs. They were a particular sort of folk.
You got to lock those down too, you know? It's like, I mean, you know, you got a good established domain, dominion around these precious entry points into the Earth's geothermal powers. It really is truly like a harnessing of the Earth's natural wonder, you know? I mean, I'm being very David Attenborough about this, but it's pretty cool. And it's also not something that everyone would have access to because they're not just everywhere. I mean, you'll have these kind of hot spots where there will be some, you know, here and there, like again in Hot Springs, North Carolina, where I was talking about some of the spots you mentioned, Ben, but it's not something that just kind of happens randomly. There have to be some certain criteria met to have these take place.
Yeah, 100%. It's just like the idea of using geothermal power. You have to be in the right location, just like real estate. It's all location. We do know that the very well-to-do in the ancient world started quarreling with the idea of being bound to geography. And they said, hey, let's make our own hot water type things. And that's how we know that in ancient Egypt, the very wealthy had the peasants build bathing chambers, and they would take what you would think of as like a very old school shower. They would have their servants get hot water and then, you know, like pour the jugs of water over their heads while they're like brainstorming about the pyramids or the Sphinx. And this was cool, or actually this was pretty neat for the person getting the bath, but all the people who had to help make the shower happen probably hated their jobs. You know, you got to heat the water up yourself. You got to carry it all the way to wherever the rich person is. That's why I think maybe, to your point, Noel, the ancient Greek method was a little bit better when they were building on pre-existing hot springs. And they're some of the first groups of people who believed this stuff had a magical power to heal, which is also why Warm Springs, Georgia was home to a U.S. president once upon a time.
Yeah, there's the idea too of like just naturally occurring springs of any kind. Like there's a theme in this new TV series, The Midnight Club, which is I've quite enjoyed the idea of, you know, springs, natural, naturally occurring springs, drinking water, possessing some sort of natural healing abilities. And that's something that's really, you know, persevered throughout history. So yeah, the ancient Greeks built these like bathhouses, essentially, or they referred to them as thermal complexes on top of hot springs. For that very reason, they carved seats into the natural rock. And that is actually how the hot springs situation in North Carolina is as well. You're literally sitting in these hollowed out pieces of rock, these kind of boulder deals. They created these very beautiful, aesthetically, kind of carved out bathhouses where, you know, the well-to-do could relax and likely cavort. I mean, I think we know that bathhouses, especially of the Greek variety, did have a reputation for being a place where hanky-panky might occur, away Hank's from the watchful paint. Eyes. Yeah, indeed. Of whomever, you know, watches for those kinds of things.
Yeah, the Hanks indeed get panked. And Turkish bathhouses acquired a similar reputation, at least as community centers, much later on, by the way. But we know that Roman architects started creating those public bathhouses using a kind of analog of modern day concrete. So they were genuinely building out these structures instead of just carving out, granted, really cool seats by the rocks. And this idea took off. This was amazing. It was like it took off the way like chia pets took off in a more in a more modern comparison. Everybody needed to like go see and be seen at the bathhouse. In 200 BCE, they were building the first public bathhouses. By 33 CE, there were almost 200. There were 170 bathhouses in Rome. And this is where the aqueduct thing comes in. Aqueducts are so cool, gravity-powered ways to move water around an area. And they would put cold water, they would transport cold water into the bathhouses. And then they used something that was new to me, at least before starting this episode. They used a heating system called the hypocaust to warm the water. And then also eventually they got their technology to the point where they could heat the floors and walls. Have you guys ever been in a place with a heated floor?
Oh, yeah.
I think I have, like in a fancy hotel, but it's definitely, you know, an extra feature for sure. It's not standard in this part of the world. No. I think probably in colder areas it or colder parts of the world, it might be a little more common.
It's in Korea, too. Mm-hmm.
I had a landlord. Well, correction. I was living in a friend of mine's house. That's a way better way to describe that. And he had heated floors in his bathroom. And he, like one time he was like out of town. He's like, if you want, you can use the bathroom with the heated floors. I'm like, will do. It was nice.
Okay. He's a very particular bathroom guy. I mean, that is like to Noel's point, Max. That's a pretty custom or bespoke kind of feature in a house. You don't really see them here in the United States that often.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was a an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I,
yeah,
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car, I'd get that car, and I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something. You know,
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. We're going to get to Japan in a minute, but I want to just even like take a quick swing at another kind of analog form of this type of relaxation that you do still see like in gyms and all of that, you know, the sauna, the idea of like a steam room that, yeah, I don't know if it's exactly coals anymore, but I think like, you know, Scandinavia, there would literally be like a thing of coals that you would pour water on and it would create steam. And that would be the source of the steam that you'd allow you to kind of, again, sort of soak your bones in a different way, more of a reverse way.
And then you beat yourself with a branch.
That's of course you do.
Why would Finland, you? Russia.
Okay, I'm going to do a callback alert, guys. Do you guys remember the episode we did about the sausage war?
Yes.
I kind of forget.
The Anus expedition. That episode. At the very end, we were talking about saunas, and we're talking about how they would have in Finland those casts that you could put your sausage in with you when you get into the sauna, and it would cook your sausage while you're sitting in the sauna. I just wanted to bring that back up because it felt fitting to insert it right here.
Multifunctional.
I think that's right. Yeah, because they are. They're very much multifunctional. They're meant to relax you and allow you to have a little bit of a sit down and collect your thoughts, perhaps. And also, again, this idea of healing properties. But, you know, why not be able to eat your sausage while you're at it? Sort of like a shower beer. But it's Japan that really kind of takes it to the next level and inspires what would go on to become the hot tub that we know and love.
Oh, and we have to point out why this became the case. The Roman Empire loved hot tubs, but then the Catholic Church had a problem with it. And so during the medieval period, a lot of them disappeared in that part of the world because it was seen as a social center that distracted from, you know, theocracies. This didn't happen in Japan, as you said. Japan really creates or leads to what we call the modern hot tub today. And they had the geography for it. Again, it's an archipelago with a lot of natural hot springs. And even like even today, what's really interesting is if you go into a Japanese house, there's a soaking bathtub, but you wash your body before you get into that bathtub. It's like a mini hot spring. And it's a regular thing. It's super cool. Their bathrooms are just so far ahead of ours.
I agree. I've always also wondered, like, why would anyone take a bath just on its own and think that's going to do the trick? Because you're literally just steeping in your own filth after a point. So it's like, do the shower, then enjoy the soak in the bathtub, but don't get the two twisted. They're not the same. And also, a hot tub is not really meant to clean yourself, per se. It's more of like a fun activity. And the water is kind of circulating and it's treated, so it's not necessarily going to harbor some of these gross things that we're worried about that might just hang around if you're soaking in a pool of stagnant, warm water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't lay in puddles on the street, do you? Anti-bath crews would say the same logic applies. Max is on the fence. Max is like, I've seen some good puddles.
Yeah. You know, we get this real heavy rainstorms here in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
You just see a good one, especially like, you know, especially like downtown Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
The really deep like potholes on the side. They look pretty good to me. And, you know, it's hot outside. Just jump on in there, splash around a little bit.
I mean, the water on the street where I live in Atlanta has at points gotten almost to knee level. So maybe we'll be street surfers later. But in terms of bathing in Japan, which again is just streets ahead of the rest of the world, they have three types of hot baths. They have the onsen, which I think most of us have heard about now. That could be a public bathing house or a private entity, but it's located around a hot spring. So they get that geothermal energy. And then they have the sentos, which are a little more like the Roman version. It's constructed to imitate natural hot springs, but they use technology to heat the water. And then the ones, oh, that's the word for the ones I was thinking about. Ofuros. Those are the home hot tubs. And they're really the antecedent of the modern hot tub. But this is the strange thing, man. If you live in the U.S. and you love hot tubs, you owe a big thank you to American veterans returning from World War II. The ones who were stationed in Pacific Theater and in Japan, they got on board with this hot tub culture and they brought it to the U.S. I wonder also if they brought those futuristic bidets. You know what I'm talking about? That's more.
Oh yeah. Wait. Hold on. What are you just describing bidets as futuristic in general, or is there a futuristic type of bidet that I might not be aware of?
Oh, you're aware of it. The Toto brand, like the
sure, the washlet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
the one that spins around in a circle. It spins you right round, baby, right round.
I encountered one that would like play music for you so nobody can hear you do your business, and it heats, and you know, we'll have nature sounds. And then I had to come back to U.S. toilets. Barbaric.
Oh, absolutely barbaric. No, I completely agree. So we have now a guy who needs no introduction, although we're going to introduce him. Knowing what we know now about pop culture, and you know, he just sounds like a made-up cartoon character.
I know.
But the guy, you know, the chicken or the egg? What came first, the jacuzzi or the person, Roy Jacuzzi? And the answer is Roy Jacuzzi. But now it just sounds like a bad pseudonym for a pimp or something.
He's like
a private investigator
who looks into waterbed crime.
Yeah.
It feels like his commercial would play after Donna and the Wolfman's commercial.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what
I think.
Roy Jacuzzi.
Yeah.
I feel like it's right. He like runs crooked card games. This is nominative determinism has worked in reverse and against this poor man who was a good inventor. You know, it's
clearly.
He just got associated with the wrong thing, you know.
The wrong crowd, the wrong thing.
Waterbed crowd.
But again, there are perfectly legitimate uses for the jacuzzi, but I think people tend to not call them jacuzzis anymore because there's a sleaze associated with that word for some reason. Mm-hmm. So hot tub just is a little bit less, but it's still, even that has its own.
Well, I also believe that jacuzzi is a brand of hot tub.
Yeah.
So you can't go around calling everything a hot tub because it might be offensive because it's like, no, that's not a jacuzzi brand hot tub.
Well, no, but it's the same as Xerox became just ubiquitous for mimeographs or whatever, or like Coke became ubiquitous for soda. I mean,
sure.
You know, people will definitely use jacuzzi in the same way.
Yeah, what you guys are talking about is what's called a generic trademark, and there are lots of lawsuits about it. You will also hear about companies asking people not to call everything their branded product. The most notorious, by the way, I'm speaking from experience, the Frisbee people. You can't call it a Frisbee unless Frisbee makes it. Otherwise, it's like a throwable flying disc. But
a disc. That's right.
I'm fascinated by this stuff, and I think you raise a good point about generic jacuzzis. How do we get there?
The problem there, though, is, Ben, that try as they may, you can't really put that genie back in the bottle. And honestly, it's a credit to the innovation of the brand in question. You know what I mean? So it's interesting that they wouldn't want people to do that because it's really just free advertising for them. But to a point, it can muddle the conversation where it's like you call everything an aspirin. Mm-hmm. It's not an aspirin. It's acetaminophen or whatever it might be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's just, it 100%. Can cause, well, it can cause major brand recognition. It can muddle that brand's recognition at the same time, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And that could be an episode all its own as well. Before jacuzzi became synonymous with hot tub, we've got to talk about Roy Jacuzzi's great uncle. And one thing that might surprise a lot of people is the jacuzzi wasn't invented for bounce, 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 sexy times. It was invented for what we would call hydrotherapy, right? Like it was meant to help.
I also really quickly do want to point out too that I think more people think about sexy hot tub times than actually participate
work.
In them.
It
doesn't
best.
Work.
No.
And it you get overheated. And if there's, you know, vigorous movement going on, you might pass out. It's not the best idea. They say, you know, limit your time in the jacuzzi to, you know, 30 minutes at a time, which no one listens to. They also drink when you're not supposed to drink. That's another thing. But yeah, you add that other thing in the equation, it's a recipe for disaster. But in 1948, Roy Jacuzzi's great uncle thought it would be a cool idea, like Ray Zelinsky from like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids style, to put an aerating pump into a bathtub. He was doing this to provide some comfort, some pain relief to his son, who had really bad rheumatoid arthritis at only 15 months. And as we know, hydrotherapy, this does work, you know, in sports medicine, they always alternate between hot and cold and things like that. And a soak in a hot tub is much more, or ice cold bath is much more of a remedy than like a luxury.
Yeah. And people have believed in the curative powers of water for such a long time. I always love to point out that here in Atlanta, where our old office was, a place called Ponce City Market, there's actually an underground spring that was built over. And it was something that for thousands of years, local populations had thought of as a sacred spring. So history is all around you. The world is a palimpsest, basically. And
does that have to do with Ponce de Leon and him being, you know, an explorer who sought the Fountain of Youth?
100% real.
Yeah. Okay. So that's where the connection comes from there. Okay,
real quick backstory. It was a grift. The street is named that because some not completely above board people wanted to lean into advertising and have folks pay to go to the springs to try to cure various maladies, and they totally ripped them off. But that's jacuzzi. The jacuzzi family is not associated with that. They're, like we said, doing hydrotherapy, and it can have efficacy. It can at least help relieve suffering, right? It's not necessarily going to cure anything, but it will help ease the pain or the symptoms. So let's learn a little bit about these guys. The Jacuzzis, which sounds like a great upcoming HBO show, they came from Italy in the 1900s, and they were always inventors. I am so impressed with people who are full-time inventors. They made
They made
water pumps for agriculture. They made the world's first submersible pump, which doesn't sound like a big deal until you need one, by the way. I think that's what led them to the idea of the hot tub.
I think that's right. And the idea of the submersible pump is to literally pull water up from the ground. And this was what inspired the type of hydraulic pump that was used to create that, you know, hydrotherapy situation that could turn a bathtub into, you know, something a little more sparkly and potentially, you know, curative because it moves the water around. It circulates the water around the, you know, the joints and the parts of the body that are in pain, and that can make a difference as well. So Roy used the idea that he had, you know, observed from his great uncle and created what he branded as the Roman.
The Roman.
Which was a bathtub that had jets that would do a 50-50 air to water ratio. Let's unpack that a little bit. I imagine this has to do with the strength of the jets and how much air was being combined with the water to create that effect.
Yeah, it's how much punch is in the pump. You know what I mean? And this uses air propulsion. So these are air jetted hot tubs, which will later be a technology we see in countless other knockoff versions. This, however, the Roman. You have to say it like that, folks. The Roman. Get quiet, Storm, with it. One more time. The Roman.
The Roman.
There it is. So
the Roman.
All right.
No,
that's
not
the
like
Roman
that.
Junior. So that's for Chihuahuas. So the Roman is the very first of its kind that people have heard about. But if you are a World War II veteran, you might be familiar with this particular reindeer game. People love this, and people started making a lot of claims about how it helped out their various health conditions. These claims are often not founded in science. Just important to note. And Jacuzzi wasn't out trying to bilk people. They were just like, hey, we got the future tubs right here. They only wanted, the Jacuzzi family only wanted the Roman to be indoors at first, right? And maybe help other people who had things like rheumatoid arthritis. But folks recognized a social opportunity. If you could get a hot tub out on a porch in like a nice cabin in the woods or something, you can gather around, you know, put it by your pool, you know, have a party. You can unwind. You can have the equivalent of a shower beer, even though you're not supposed to. It reminds me a little bit of how if you're ever at a gathering in someone's house, for some reason, the kitchen often becomes the central hangout area, even when there's like a living room with a TV. People were just drawn to the hot tub. They wanted to congregate around it, sort of the way that wildlife in the savannah might congregate around a water source.
Yeah, I want to say this is roughly around the same time that was depicted in the Paul Thomas Anderson movie Licorice Pizza, where the waterbed was a big thing. I think it was maybe a little earlier, like maybe like 76 or 77. But it was in 1979 that the hot tub, there was just like a craze. You know, businesses started making their own versions of the hot tub. Because again, it's hard to, how do you patent the specifics of putting a water pump in a bathtub?
I own hot can't. Water. I yeah, own the, yeah. I am Ben Watterson for the purposes of this dumb bit, and I have copyrighted the temperature of water.
I don't know, guys. You guys say that, but there was a school in Ohio who recently got a copyright on the word "the." So stupid things can happen.
Yeah, but I mean, that's more of like a troll than it is something that would actually be functional in a court of law, I would argue. But again, you know, sort of like whoever came up with the first fidget spinner, they're either kicking themselves because they didn't patent it, or it's too, you know, while it is novel, it's also generic enough that other people can make it in different shapes. And it's just about combining these ball bearings with these little plastic wings. Same with the hot tub, same with the waterbed. You know, you had like the original. Except no substitutions, except people accepted tons of substitutions. Oh, in the early 1980s, you had the Watkins brothers. There's a little bit of nominative determinism there. It could be the Waterkins brothers. They released their own spa made of something called Rovell, which was a material that could be like extruded. It was a company from Dow that made it. So it was essentially like a, like, what do you call that, Ben? Like vacuum extrusion, kind of like almost like, you know, you can create shapes out of plastic essentially, yeah, or out of like a plastic type material. So then you can get all these like vinyl, acrylic kind of seats instead of using polyester resin. So there were, you know, these surface problems that had been the thing. Because in the 70s, you had a lot of leakage and problems with cracking of acrylic hot tubs and, you know, all of that. And they were heavy. You could now have lighter weight ones that could be sexier colors and have little butt-shaped, you know, seats, because it was all used this kind of vacuum extrusion, process.
Yeah, they were able to more easily make bespoke customized molds. And this material science is an important evolution because in 1970, when everybody jumped into the hot tub trend, they were using a lot of fiberglass. And like you said, fiberglass can crack, it can splinter, it's got problems. But with this innovation from Rovell and the Watkins brothers, hot tub sales reached 280,000. I've got in 1988. I've got some weird hot tub facts. I just want to share one. This, like, we'll do it at the end, but I wanted to spoil one. Right now, you guys, as we're recording this episode, as you are hearing it, 17,000 people are currently sitting in a hot tub.
Right now.
Right now.
There's 17,000 people in heaven right now.
How many of them do you think are peeing?
Ooh, 11, somebody 11, just 000. Stopped. Someone just stopped. We know it's you.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac, Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one, and that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino, and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So these are really popular, but there are still a lot of knockoffs, right? And this is a status symbol item. To have a hot tub means that you have gotten ahead of the Joneses in your social circle. By the 1990s, consumers are starting to get wise to this, and hot tub manufacturers, if they want to stay in the game, they have to make stuff that's a little bit higher quality. And that's when we start seeing replacements for the old school wooden cabinet where the mold and the pumps would go inside. Now they have a synthetic cabinet, and this doesn't need all the maintenance that a wooden structure would need. So a wooden structure starts to become niche, then it becomes obsolete. And like we see with every, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the early days of soda. When soda was first coming out, there was this vast panoply of different brands. You know, everybody had a soda brand, and now it's really narrowed to just the top performers. And that's what happens with hot tubs.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, like any boom, oftentimes, like many booms, rather, oftentimes there's going to be a bust. When things rise in popularity so quickly and everyone's got to have them, there's a feeding frenzy. It either just kind of it peaks early, or people get kind of tired of it. There's a general waning interest. So at this point, you know, hot tubs are coming in all different shapes and sizes, and all of these different companies are making different ones. They're being marketed in different ways. They're being designed to fit both inside of homes and in yards. Some of them are leaning more into the therapeutic kind of angle of it all. So we're now at a place where the hot tub, it's kind of old hat, but I mean, we still love it. That's where this whole conversation came from, the idea to explore this. You know, hot tubs are the kinds of things that you look for in a mountain cabin rental getaway. Mm-hmm. You know, would I go so far as to buy one? I don't know. There are, you know, Coleman, for example, makes an inflatable hot tub that you can put in your backyard. How comfortable am I having an inflatable anything in my backyard? I don't know yet. It's hard to say.
You got
to
get one of the fun doodle guys, or not fun doodles, the wavy arm dudes from car dealerships.
From Nope.
Mm-hmm. You got to get them. God. Man, I used to have one of those.
Those are more like a novelty, you know, decoration. But the idea of having an above ground pool, it's really easy to kind of rag on people for that. It's sort of like a sign of like, okay, you can't quite afford a pool. Mm-hmm. So you're getting an above ground pool. I tend to get a little grimy. No shade to anybody that has an above ground pool. I'm just saying this is the perception, I think, at large. Same with like an inflatable hot tub. They do seem pretty cool. But do I want to be that guy that has an inflatable hot tub? Do I really want one that bad? Can I just do a cabin thing?
Feels like a glamping thing.
It does feel like a glamping thing. I agree. But now we're used to this. We've got literal inflatable hot tubs you can buy. There are some models that lean more into the efficacy of the therapeutic jets and all of that. There are some that are just like, you know, totally leaning into the absurdity and 70s-ness of it because it's a throwback thing at this point. But if you look back, this was, in fact, a very, 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 very interesting idea. It was two things kind of combined from history and modern kind of, you know, industrial revolution to make something kind of new. And it also came up in the same time, you know, again, with like the waterbed, where there were spokespeople that became, you know, synonymous with these products, like Suzanne Summers and the, what was it, the Thighmaster or whatever. I believe Suzanne Summers was also initially a hot tub spokesperson.
Yeah, and there's a shout out to a previous episode we did here. So we talked about reality television with our pal Anna from Daily Zeitgeist and Ethnically Ambiguous, and we talked about that frighteningly dystopian TV show Queen for a Day. The Jacuzzi Brothers advertised on Queen for a Day. It was part of your prize if you got your wish because you had the worst, most tragic sob story as graded by an audience. That's how dystopian it is. Check out our episode there. But yeah, we're nailing a really important thing here. In current society, and even back then, which wasn't too long ago, one of the main ways to make a new product popular was to have people who were liked in the public sphere endorse it. So right now, I would posit that we could take something that's, I don't know, like some weird, you don't really need it type of invention. And then if you get enough celebrities to say they like it, then everybody will want one. It doesn't really matter what it is. The hot tub played this same role, you know, big celebrities of the time, like you mentioned, Suzanne Summers, Jay Mansfield, they're endorsing this and people are thinking, I want to be like Suzanne Summers. I also want to feel I have made it. And Suzanne's never led me wrong before, whether or not that was true. So you also see this in television shows and movies. People are relaxing and unwinding and all sorts of things across genres. Yeah, in game shows.
In terms of the prize, you know, like oh, win yourself a hot tub installation for your home, you know, patio or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. And now you can see the hot tub craze may have cooled down a bit, but it's still very much, it's still very much there. You know, like you can find countless hot tubs at hotels. You'll find them both in the rooms and, you know, by the pool area. A lot of people have hot tubs in their house. Some of the more fancy ones have a lot of customizable options. They can seat like 9 people because there's nothing worse than being at a hot tub party and there not being enough room for everyone. The one thing I really like, and this is a boring thing for me to like, but I'll say it. I like that they have self-cleaning technology now. That is a game changer. If you've ever had to clean a pool. And I imagine, again, treating it as a family show, I imagine there are people who have had to clean hot tubs and hated the experience.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I remember having a neighborhood pool and there being a real commotion when the little kid, you know, pooped in the pool. And then somebody had to deal with that. Somebody had to deal with that.
I know. It's a dirty job. Picture the local lifeguard teenagers drawing straws. Who's got to be the poop man today? But either way, we know that this started out as an invention that just was meant to help relieve the pain of one person. And now it really has helped millions of people. And, you know, at this point, like that's the main story. But at this point, we've got some tangents, some things that Max, you thought were interesting, some weird hot tub facts I thought were interesting. I mean, pop culture loves a hot tub, even now. You guys remember Hot Tub Time Machine? I can't believe that was in 2010, 12 years ago.
I never actually saw it. I've been thinking about it, though, lately as we've been talking more about hot tubs.
Well, the plot is basically the title. It's one of those films.
I like that, though.
So I feel like you just saw it now by hearing the title.
So before we close out today, let's round robin a list of the most incredible, best hot tubs in the world.
Also, I would just like to pose it to people, if they want to look at these while we're reading them off, because they're very impressive, go to Outside Online and the 8 most spectacular hot tubs in the world, because they're pretty awesome.
All right. Well, I'm intrigued. What do we have here?
Well, the first one is it on its surface looks like something you might see in like the Super Smash Brothers Donkey Kong Country stage, because it's literally like an old school barrel with like, you know, metal kind of brackets on it and these two fellas sitting it. But it's like in the wilderness and there's a massive waterfall just off to the left of it. It looks absolutely remarkable. Mm-hmm. Depends on your position on the sound of rushing water, if you find that distressing or soothing.
I thought everybody found that soothing. People are distressed.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a different kind of cat guy.
We're just making, you know, we're making room for everybody, however you react to water. If you don't like waterfalls, then fear not, because there are many other very fancy hot tubs. Let's go to Queenstown, New Zealand. It's the Matakori Lounge. It's on the shore of Lake Wakatipu, and it's got a incredibly, you know what I would call it? This hot tub is just extra. It's perched on a balcony where you have like access to a helicopter. You could charter a boat. They've got an on-site chef, and they give you hot stone massages. And if you don't like that hot tub, then there's another whirlpool.
Yeah, let's read this as also a list of hot tubs that you cannot afford.
Yeah, no. I feel like that's accurate, and let's strive for realism here. The list goes on. Like, there are hot tubs in Wyoming that'll blow your mind, Iceland as well. Right now, as we are recording, we do have to note that there is some here's some science I did find. If you spend 15 minutes in a hot tub per day for 1 week, you can have an 11% drop in cortisone, the stress hormone. It really does change your chemistry a little.
Cool. You ever heard of Jackson Hole?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a getaway for the rich and famous.
I do want to point out that I was able to get a price estimate on that one.
Ooh.
It is only obviously, we wouldn't get this room because we're going to go as bougie as possible. But like the lowest end room is only $1,300 a night. Highest end, the highest end one's about $2,100 and only has a king size bed. So Ben, you're gonna be sleeping at the foot of the bed.
No, but, do they take Ben bucks? I'll get the other room.
Okay, yeah, that works for me. Yeah, totally. And I mean, it's after a 4,000 foot tram ride straight up. I mean, I think we gotta go, guys.
Let's do it.
Yeah, this is what I would call like an infinity hot tub. Think of it like those infinity pools you see in like a crazy palatial Hollywood estates.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we should also mention these are the creme de la creme of the estimated 26 million functioning hot tubs all across the world, where every year 43,000 bottles of champagne are opened.
What about how we should have done a little speckle? I mean, it's just based on the macabre way I opened the story, talking about chopping off someone's skull cap and making a hot tub of the mind. I wonder how many people end up dead in hot tubs.
That, my friend, is a little bit of a darker statistic, but I have it partially. According to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the CPSC, more than 300 people die each year in an accident related to a hot tub. So that could be slipping by the hot tub. That could be falling asleep. That could unfortunately be
overheating.
Yeah, drowning, maybe asphyxiation. But
heart attack based on sexual activity mixed with alcohol, mixed with heat. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is why you'll hear directives like don't spend more than 20 minutes in a hot tub. But I got to be honest, I have flagrantly disregarded that rule almost every time.
Same. But again, you know, we're not here to tell you how to live your life. I found an incredibly pointed headline on the TampaBay.com website. It says by Judy Stark, "Meant to soothe, the hot tub can kill."
Bum, bum, bum.
This is from April of 1997.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I just love that's such a great headline. But and speaking of other great headlines, my headline for today is, this was a fun episode, Noel Brown.
And I hope you found it interesting, folks. If this doesn't quite heat your tub, have no fear. We are boldly going to a place our history show has yet to explore. We hope you join us on our continuing mission. Those are all the hints we're going to drop today. But yeah, what a pleasure. I agree with you, Noel. That's the headline we end on. Thanks, as always, to Mr. Max Williams, our super producer. Thanks also to our research associate, wait for it, Mr. Max Williams.
Indeed. Thanks to Alex Williams, who composed our theme. Christopher Asiotis, here in spirit. Eves Jeffcoats. Love following Eves on social media.
She's really in South Africa
adventures.
Now.
Yeah, South African literary adventures with Eves. That should be a Discovery Channel show or National Geographic show. Let's get a little more highbrow than that. Mm-hmm. And hey, thanks to you, Ben. We finally hot tubbed it up together, even if it was only in the hot tub of our minds.
Right on, man. Next, let's do waterbeds.
Or waterboarding.
Or maybe just, maybe water beds.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This episode is brought to you by the movie The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, only in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now.
It's directed by Guy Ritchie, who did The Gentlemen, and produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, who did Top Gun Maverick.
Based on a true story, this action comedy reveals the first ever Special Forces mission executed during World War II.
Starring Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson, discover how one mission changed history, laying the foundation for modern Black Ops warfare.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is rated R and in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.